All those freshmen Illinois football is playing has Lauren Tate even fired up. Lauren watched the game at Iowa, was impressed by the performance, especially of the linemen. But does that mean anything positive for the rest of the season? And this week's Tate Lines Unedited, our 51-year Illini columnist, will tell us how he thinks the rest of the season will play out. Here's a hint. Not that great. He's got Illinois beating Rutgers, and that's about it. He'll explain himself, or at least try to, in his latest podcast. We'll be back after this. Hey, Jim Rosso, News Gazette Media, reminding you that every day at newsgazette.com, there's a bevy of podcasts for your listening pleasure, from Jim Turpin's Penny for Your Thoughts, to Scott Beatty's Sports Talk, to interviews with the movers and shakers in town on The Morning Show. Check it out, newsgazette.com. Search for podcasts. All right, Lauren, Illinois loses 45-16, yet fans are happy?
Well, that's a good question. Are fans happy? The game is at Iowa. A lot of people watch it on TV, I suppose, from on the Illinois side. And I think what they saw in the first half was something to be encouraged by. It ended, as you say, 45-16, but I think that there was enough offensive, well, let's face it. If you put four freshmen in the offensive line, well, you've got four guys that are going to be there in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Four of those starters
hopefully.
Could be. Yeah, right. I mean, a lot can happen between now and then. But the point is that they would be seniors in 2020. Therefore, we ought to be encouraged by their performance. Dorsey at the tight end, I would be encouraged by his performance. I think the running backs, we got a lot of young running, two freshman running backs. I think we ought to be encouraged by that. Now, I don't know that the quarterback situation is resolved entirely, but I don't think they have any other choice right now. But Georgia's interceptions really turned that game away. And I thought that Illinois, by the same token, got snookered a couple times on a kickoff, an onside kickoff, and a fake punt that really hurt them. It really changed the nature of the game.
All right, so Illinois lost at Iowa, lost Nebraska, lost South Florida, right in a three-game losing streak coming to Rutgers.
Yeah, this is
Saturday.
The one.
This is the win, right, Lauren?
Well, if you're going to win one, Illinois right. Just a three-point favorite, so it isn't like it's going to be. They're not a runaway favorite, but I think there was enough shown in that game, I think, that the fact that they had a legitimate gunslinger at quarterback created a situation where the running game had a better chance because you couldn't just – Nebraska simply piled up on the line of scrimmage the previous week and basically stopped the running game cold, whereas once you start opening the defense up with passes, as George did, it created – look, Jim, they had six – sorties to the 22-yard line or closer. Now, they didn't get touchdowns on everything, but they at least got down there six times in the first three quarters. So they were doing some things. They were moving. They outgained Iowa in this game, 446 to 441. That's a decent offensive showing, terrible defensive mm-hmm. showing, but a pretty good offensive showing. So I think the offense is starting to show some signs. I don't see any hope for the defense this year.
Sorties, one of my favorite Lauren Tate phrases.
Well, I don't know where that came from.
I like it. Sorties.
Well, drives, marches, whatever.
So you think fans are okay
with
this constant theme of we're young, we're freshmen, it's okay to lose.
No, I don't think fans are okay.
I don't think so.
I think that what I'm trying to present here is a little bit of hope on the offensive side that I could see a team being pretty good in the future. When I say the future, I'm not talking about this year. I'm talking about future years, and that at the same time, I know other teams aren't standing still. But I just think that Illinois has shown enough for me to think, after I've been pretty negative about it, I think that there probably is reason to believe that playing these guys as freshmen is going to help them mature as opposed to sitting out. I think playing probably helps in the near future, the next year and the following year. You'd like to have them as fifth years in 2021, but they're not going to be around because their four years of eligibility will be over. But I don't think the fans think that way. I think most fans are very disappointed, don't you?
Well, I think, I don't know, disappointing because you knew it was going to be like this, didn't you? I mean, this is not a surprise that they're probably going without another bowl game.
But I think fans came in disappointed, and they're still disappointed. I don't think that this has been a great change in the attitude for this season. I mean, let's face it, if Illinois doesn't beat Rutgers, and this is no gimme, if Illinois doesn't beat Rutgers, will they win another game all year?
Well, here's the tough part is getting through this season, because look at the home games you got left, Lauren. The crowds are just not going to be there, mm-hmm. right? Maybe I'll give you Wisconsin, but doggone it, Indiana, Northwestern, and Rutgers. I mean, it's just going to be a half-empty stadium, right? Yeah. Early morning games.
Yeah.
Well, that's the tough part for me.
Well, it is tough, and it's just a shame because Illinois has lost all its natural rivalries. When I grew up, Illinois had a tremendous rivalry with Michigan. Michigan beat Illinois so repeatedly that the rivalry went away. Illinois had a great rivalry with Ohio State. That was a big game at one time, even all through the Cooper era at Ohio State when Illinois was winning all those games. For Illinois, not for Ohio State, but for Illinois, this was a big rivalry game. When Illinois played Michigan or Ohio State at home, those were huge. They were big turnouts, and you thought you had a chance. For a long time, Illinois had a rivalry with Iowa. Illinois hasn't beaten Iowa at Iowa since 1999. This is not a rivalry that it was. It's not the same. I don't know. Who would you consider, Jim, asking you right now, what is Illinois' major rival in football?
How about Northwestern?
Well, okay, but it's the last game of the season. By that time, does it really matter? I mean,
you asked me for a rivalry. Well,
that's who we play in the final game. Therefore, right. That's our major rival. But I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure it is, but it's the best we got.
Well, look into the future.
Missouri was a rival for 6 years until they beat us every year. And
maybe Rutgers, Lauren.
Okay. This week has better be rested.
That's an 11 o'clock start. Here's a couple questions I'm going to throw you off here, Lauren.
All right.
The fans have vowed to be patient for a couple years. Can Lovie Smith be patient?
Well, I think that Lovie knows better than anyone what he's up against, and I think that he has no choice. He's got a contract that increases dramatically in the coming years. I mean, from the Illinois standpoint, he started out $5 million, but Illinois was paying him $2 million, Tampa Bay was paying him $3 million, and of course the Tampa Bay thing goes away after a couple of years, and then Illinois is paying him. They're going to try to keep him up around $3-5 million and in the coming years. So he's not leaving. I mean, there's no great demand for him right now anyway. I mean, he was fired by Tampa Bay and by the Bears before that. So I think he's got a good gig here, and I think that he is accepting what's happening. He seems to have a pretty level point of view. I mean, personality. I think he understands that he's playing the freshmen. As soon as you commit to 17 freshmen or whatever the number is that they're playing consistently, I think then you realize we're probably down deep in his heart. We're probably not going to win, but we're going to be better later. And I think that's what he's thinking.
He's got a well-paid staff, as we've been told, much NFL experience. When you mention NFL, though, Lauren, there's always those coordinator jobs that pay as good as a big-time college job. Yep. No worries about that from you.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think he's going to take a defensive coordinator job in the NFL, although that would pay well. You're mm-hmm. right. But I think that he's committed here. I think Josh Whitman's 100% behind him. And I think the people in power at the university are satisfied with his approach to the game. They feel he's handling it appropriately, and he's not going to get Illinois in any trouble. And we just have to wait to see, and it isn't a guarantee. We wait to see if this freshman group is going to be the nucleus for what could be a good team in the future. It won't be successful if they don't get more players behind them in the next class as well.
Right.
I mean, you can't, one class doesn't do it, but if they'd had another class or two that were comparable to this one, they'd be in business.
This is how dedicated I am to this podcast, Lauren. I did some research for you.
Okay. You watched the whole Illinois-Iowa
game. Well, I did that, but the previous week I went to a Purdue game. to see what our brethren in West Lafayette were doing. As kind of I picture them as equals, right?
Yeah,
entering the season.
Yeah.
And what I walked into was kind of startling, Lauren. This is Purdue, after all, which has been down in the dumps like Illinois. It was for the Michigan game, so of course the crowd was a sellout.
Mm-hmm.
But the facilities were magnificent. The game day was magnificent. And really, the product on the field for Purdue was much better than I thought it would be. This worries me, Lauren.
Oh, I think Purdue's gone past Illinois already. One guy did it.
Jeff Brohm.
Yeah, Brohm. He was here. I'm remembering. He's a terrific offensive coach. I think he's the smartest guy in the building. That's what you want. This is kind of like when Mike White came to Illinois. He changed Illinois overnight because of what he was as an offensive coach. I think Brohm has done the same thing at Purdue. They think he's the next Joe Tiller.
All right. So Purdue's ahead of Illinois.
Well, if they played on a neutral field right now, Purdue would be favored, yes.
Well, they're going to play November 4th.
I know it. Not a neutral field, though.
No, it isn't. Ross-Ade Stadium, much like Memorial Stadium.
But we beat them over there. Us over here. We beat them over there. So
there's your rival. You were looking for a rival. I'd say Purdue is the rival.
Yeah, maybe so. It just isn't as intense. There was a time when these rivalries were so intense that you packed the stadium when that particular team came to town. And it isn't that way now. And the reason is that Illinois has been down so consistently over the years. And even when we rise up in 2007 or 8, whichever year that was, that Zook had that good team and they went to the Rose Bowl, the next year it went right back to the same old level. And therefore, there's never been nothing sustained.
It was special, and Lauren, you can speak to this, just going to the stadium when you knew it was going to be packed, when you knew it was a marquee game, when you knew Illinois had a chance. It was a special feeling.
Yep.
Does it get that way again?
Well, it could. It could if you got to beat somebody, and you got to have a team that people can relate to. I think there's a chance in the future. Again, I'm based on this first half or first three quarters against Iowa over there that I could see some things starting to happen. Now, there's one huge hole defensively. They can't stop the pass.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as that continues, Illinois will not be successful, period. I don't care what else happens. If you can't stop the other team from completing passes on a consistent basis, you're not going to win. And when you look at stats, you can't always do that because teams, when they get far enough ahead, they don't try to pile up stats in the passing game. In fact, if you remember, Nebraska ran the ball the last 11 times in the game straight into the line, and Illinois couldn't stop them. So there must be, beyond the pass, there's also a problem in the defensive line. Illinois has got to improve that defense until they can do that. I mean, how did Michigan State beat Michigan Saturday? How did they do that? Defense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they squeezed out a couple of touchdowns early and hung on with defense, and they did a great job with the help of help from upstairs. It was raining like the devil from that third quarter and then starting into the fourth quarter. But if Illinois can't improve defensively, they aren't going to get there.
All right. Speaking of Michigan State, Michigan, that's one advantage I see Illinois having is just the divisional lineup.
Oh, right? Absolutely.
Which brings me to this question: have you heard much about maybe some beef from the East about it being too lopsided, and do you think it changes?
I don't think it changes, but I think there's going to be some beef, but I don't think it's going to change. I think they decided to go geographically, and I don't think they will adjust that. Now, should Michigan and Michigan State be in the same division? You know, there's some people over there think it's unfair to Michigan State that they're in against these three powerhouses every year, and Maryland may feel the same way, but I don't think they're going to change the geographical thing. I think that everybody understands it now, and Wisconsin is good enough maybe where, you know, we can at least say they're competitive in the championship game. But if you're Illinois, you couldn't be better located.
Mm-hmm.
And the situation now, Purdue looks better, of course, and Iowa's been pretty consistent, but Illinois's got a chance against those teams. We saw that Saturday. Illinois wasn't going to beat Iowa, but you could see where in a year or two things could – I mean, from a recruiting standpoint, Purdue and Iowa and Minnesota and Northwestern are not swamping Illinois. They're not. Illinois is getting almost as good of players or comparable players to Purdue and Minnesota And Wisconsin's recruits are good, but they're not anywhere close to Michigan and Ohio State, not even close. So I think that Illinois in the Western Division, I think that the division will stay, and I think that Illinois will be can be competitive if we can just keep another get another class or two. And there's a this coming class doesn't look particularly good right now, but they got a couple good linemen, and that's where it all starts. They've got to get stronger in the line, particularly in the defensive line. They've got a it's nice having defensive ends that can rush, but you need defensive ends that can defend also. And you can't defend at 230 pounds in the defensive line. You just can't.
Jeff George, as you've told me before, Lauren, one of your favorite all-time Illini players.
Yeah, he was.
And now his son is running the show. Spunky.
Yeah.
Well, daredevilish.
Well, he's a gunslinger. That's what
a leader.
I think he's a leader. Although I thought Crouch was a leader. They felt that Crouch was the leader of the team, but he couldn't perform at that level. I think at quarterback, if you perform well enough, you're a leader, right? I mean, if you complete passes and take the team to wins, and that's. But the problem has always been with Jeff is his junior, are the interceptions. Mm-hmm. He is prone to throwing interceptions. We saw it in August, when he was in preseason drills that we were allowed to watch, he's a kind of a daring guy. He throws caution to the wind at times and throws the ball up for grabs at times. Now, those turnovers kill you, and they had four turnovers in this game, and the other team threw four touchdown passes. That tells you two things. Number one, our pass defense isn't any good. We gave up four touchdown passes. Mm-hmm. Number two, we can't give turnovers. I said turnovers and not interceptions. We had four turnovers. And that's too many. You can't win with four turnovers.
He's your quarterback going forward, though.
Well, yes. I don't think there's any choice there. Okay. And I think that his presence really helped the running game this week. I think that we loosened the defense at Iowa and found that we could get some holes in the line. Plus, we had a couple of freshmen at the tackles now. And these guys are big. I mean, you're 340 pounds, and you can – I saw some of the blocks, and Martin O'Donnell threw them up on I think it was on Twitter. He threw some of the blocks that Boyd made,
right,
where he flattened guys. I mean, he's really big and strong, and Lowe is the same way. So this is Lowe's first game, and he wandered downfield a little bit a couple of times and got called for ineligible receiver downfield, and it cost Illinois a touchdown. But I think that he's shown enough potential now that – I think these freshman linemen are going to be pretty good on offense.
Rutgers, Minnesota, at Minnesota, another first-year coach, kind of coming back to earth.
Yeah,
your friend Bob Osmussen.
Yeah, Bob doesn't
he really doesn't like
he
Mr.
lambasted
Row the boat.
Him, didn't he? Yeah, I don't know if that was a really close game against Purdue, and Purdue's mm-hmm. offense's ingenuity. Look, it was a one-point game when the rain
right.
came in the fourth quarter. So the final score was not indicative. It was a 17-16 game. But one thing I noticed, as the game wore on, Minnesota couldn't move the ball. And Purdue was moving the ball. And Minnesota was kind of hanging on, but they couldn't hang on long enough. And Purdue took over that game with a better – you know, there's something special about the way Brohm runs that pass game. I mean, Western Kentucky was really good the last 2 years, really, really, really good, and now Purdue's along the same lines. They're gonna move the ball.
He when you say he runs the pass game is right, because he, if you've watched a Purdue game, he is heavily involved in each play call.
Yeah.
Whereas Lovey's a pretty relaxed, reserved guy. Now
yeah.
Brohm is a lunatic, I would say.
Lovey is an overseer.
Mm-hmm.
And
an NFL type
McGee,
way.
Yeah,
right.
McGee runs the offense, and McGee's got some ideas too, but Lovey is more inclined to the defensive side, and supposedly in the secondary, because he was coaching last year, he was coaching the safeties, and boy, they're just not showing much, improvement. They've got some new guys in there, and they're just not ready yet.
Who's your MVP for Illinois right now?
Ooh, I didn't know you were going to ask me that. Let's see. Oh, boy. I'm not going to say McLaughlin. I'd say Allegretti.
Okay.
He's a pretty good offensive lineman. I wouldn't say it would be one of the running backs or the quarterbacks yet, although I like Epstein as a runner. He's running well. Defensively, I can't come up with anybody. I like 33 Watson. Phillips didn't play, and I don't have information as to why he didn't.
Well, let's get on that, Lauren.
Harding played a lot at that position Saturday at Iowa, and Phillips wasn't in there very much, if at all.
Before we're going to close this podcast, I'm going game by game, and you're going to tell me if Illinois is going to win or lose these, but I want you to reflect a little on Joe Tiller. Died recently.
Yeah, well,
right?
Jim, it's been apparent to me that teams that have lesser talent need to have a passing game to offset their weaknesses. And we saw that at Illinois with White and Makovic, who followed. And we saw that, I think, the same thing with Tiller at Purdue. The fact that he's the head coach and yet he was so involved with the offense and it was such a will, he had so many special plays and he was just a good offensive coach. And so I think that Tiller was very special. Because I think he did a lot with less.
Purdue, like Illinois, if given the product, there is a fandom that is rabid and welcoming. And
well, they've been down the last couple of years.
They
really needed somebody to lift them, and,
right.
And they believe in Brohm.
But it's just that that uplift that creates
yeah.
just a neat atmosphere that
yeah.
once was here at Illinois. That it's been a while.
How'd you happen to get over there?
Took two of my kids over there just
Good.
To watch the game and enjoyed. We tailgated like a normal fan.
Terrific.
It reminded me, hey, Illinois got the best tailgate situation in the Big Ten.
Because of space?
Just a immediate flat space with
yeah,
trees.
Right.
That's all you need, right?
Parking at Illinois is the best in the Big Ten.
Purdue, we walked 25 minutes to tailgate, and it was, I mean, thousands of people. It's a cluster at Purdue, right? You have apartments
You're
and such.
By you know? The golf course.
Yeah. And Illinois, unlike it. But just the feeling of fans being fired up again was kind
yeah.
of neat to
yeah.
experience. And it's been so long at Illinois since
yep.
I've experienced that.
I know that.
That buzz. All right, we're going to close this podcast with real quick comments on the games left on Illinois' schedule. Rutgers, win or lose?
I think Illinois will defeat Rutgers.
That's a W. I'll mark it down as
okay.
a W. That's
okay.
all you're going to say about the game, Lauren.
Well, I don't know enough about Rutgers yet, but I think that think Illinois showed enough in the Iowa game. If they can cut down on the turnovers and be a little better in pass defense, I think they can win. I'm going to pick Illinois, although they're a three-point favorite. They got home field. I think the team feels a little better about themselves now.
Sure. Still can't get Rutgers in the Big Ten in my head, Lauren.
They don't belong.
I apologize.
They don't belong.
At Minnesota on October 21st.
Well, I'm going to choose Minnesota, but I think that's a game Illinois could win. I think that may be the last game that Illinois could win this season. But I would go with Minnesota because of the home field. I was not impressed by Minnesota against Purdue in the sense that I don't think offensively, I don't think they're very good. I think they're fairly, they're just an average team with average talent.
Energetic coach.
Yeah.
Wisconsin homecoming October 28th.
That's Wisconsin all the way. They're just too strong.
The typical Wisconsin team. They have a good quarterback, too, this year.
Hornibrook.
Played a lot last year. And
Well, he's been completely
I like my quarterbacks left-handed, Lauren.
Yeah.
Why is that?
I don't know. I don't know why you like that.
Strange.
What do you think? I mean, how do you like Wisconsin to go all the way this year?
Well, they're going to get the chance.
Yeah.
You know, they just got to win one game, right? You got to upset Ohio State or Penn State.
They play Michigan.
At home, I think, though.
In the regular season. Well, that'll be tough. Michigan's tough. Now, Michigan keeps losing close games, but they're going to win some of those one of these
but
days.
But they have a bad quarterback, Lauren, and you need a quarterback.
He was bad. He was bad. Okor.
At Purdue, as we've talked about, the Boilers have it going a little bit.
I got to swing back to Purdue now because of the upswing that you see there. I think they're a better team than Illinois right now, though. I don't think they have a lot better talent, but they're not playing a bunch of freshmen like Illinois is.
All right, Indiana coming to Memorial Stadium. You said Illinois.
Well, I think Indiana will defeat Illinois. I think Indiana's better than Illinois.
You okay, Lauren?
Maybe that's a leftover from last season because they lost Wilson, their coach. And
right.
I, I thought Wilson really did a great job over there. But, no, I would give Indiana the ledge.
I haven't seen the Hoosiers since they gave Ohio State a tussle early on, so I can't.
They're not great. It's a chance. Illinois, like the Minnesota game, Illinois's got a chance in that game to win.
Going to Ohio State on the 18th.
No chance.
Okay. Then closing with our rival, Lauren, the Northwestern Wildcats.
Now, I'm not going to pick that game for this reason. That's too far off, and I don't know who our quarterback's going to be. I don't know who will be left. The injuries play such a big part because neither team has any depth. Northwestern doesn't have depth, and Thorson hasn't been a very good quarterback up to this point, and Jackson hadn't been near the dominant running back I thought he would be. Something's wrong with Northwestern, and sometimes they can get it straightened out by midseason and finish stronger, but I don't know. I don't know what to think about that game.
All right, Lauren, we'll close this latest podcast with a simple question. You're almost halfway through the season. There have been years and years past where you have not looked forward to finishing. Are you looking forward to the rest of the season?
Well, I'm looking forward to, in the sense I want to study. I want to do a better job of analyzing just what's happening with some of the freshmen. Just how good are they? How good can they be? I'm going to try to, after the Rutgers game, go back and look at the film and try to analyze just what I've seen. My problem in writing about games is I have to write before I see it. I see the game in front of me, but I haven't had a chance to analyze it. I noticed O'Donnell, who does a terrific job doing color for Illinois, goes back and studies. And then you know so much more when you can pinpoint what you want to watch. Whereas I'm watching the ball all the time, but there are things going on away from the ball that really determine how the game is being played.
All right, that's Lauren Tate. He writes every Sunday in the News Gazette at newsgazette.com. Only stuff that a 51-year beat writer can deliver. All right, Lauren, we'll talk to you next week.
All right, thank you.